we're still doing that. So last Wednesday, Jimmy had us do two. I'm going to do the same thing tonight. So what we're going to do is 7 and 8, which is that 7 is that God will touch our leaders to have a desire to grow in their places of service. So can somebody pray for the leaders here at this church?
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the leaders that we have. I pray that they will continue to grow in their walk with you and that they will lead the rest of us in a or closer to you. And I pray that other people will step up to become leaders because you never can have too many leaders in a church, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Pray. Amen.
And then number 8. That God will direct and clarify the use and purpose of our newest house at 414 Byron Street. Who wants to pray for that? The new house.
Dear Lord, we're just so thankful that you've gifted us with this house, Lord. And it truly was a gift, Lord. We just ask that you now be with us as we figure out which direction we're going to go with using this house, Lord. We just ask that whatever we do with this house, Lord, that we use it to glorify your name, Lord. We ask for all this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I just want to remind you, it's not part of the message, but prayer is extremely important. Extremely important. God calls us to pray, and I'm praying every day that God meets everyone. And let me remind you of something. If you've been part of this church, He keeps His promises, church. He does every time. He never not keeps His promises. I don't understand how He can be so faithful to me and to this church and to all of you, but He continues to do it because He is the Almighty God. The song that we sing, He is the King of Glory, church. The King of Glory. The King of Kings. He is the King of Glory. I don't understand why God keeps making me do this. I assume it's to grow me, but we're preaching out of a book I've never preached out of. Maybe a book you've never heard of or read. The book of Habakkuk. And Savannah told me the kids love to say that name, Habakkuk. It's a minor prophet. So this will be a good message, but what I want to just here for a moment, just remind you of how awesome that God is. How amazing and good and righteous and just that He is. He is the Father of goodness, church. He tells us what good is. He shows us how to be good. This is what God does. He is an amazing God, and He saved you if you have Jesus Christ. He put Jesus on the cross. He bled and died for you and I that we might have eternal life through Him. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. And I want to ask you, have you ever found yourself complaining to God? Have you ever found yourself complaining to God, saying, there's so much evil and suffering and pain in the world? Have you ever found yourself complaining to God, asking God, where are you? Where have you gone? Are you even listening? If God, if you are good, why do you allow evil to keep going on and on, to go unpunished? We see evil all around us. Suffering, pain, all around us. Have you ever been in that place, church? Have you ever been in a place where you're praying over and over and over again for something and you're not getting an answer? And you ask God, are you even listening? Do you even hear me? Have you ever cried out to God? I don't just mean praying your drive-through prayers. I mean really crying, getting on your knees before God and asking Him why. You know that's okay, church? It's okay to bring your complaints to God. If you're going to complain to anyone, complain to the one who has the solution to all of our problems. To all of our problems. Let me give you a little bit of context. You know I like Scripture. We're going through some Scripture. So Habakkuk chapter 1. But let me give you some context. Habakkuk has been around. He's seen a lot of bad kings. A lot of kings that did not worship God, that did not care about God, that put God in the back seat. A lot of bad kings. And the Babylonians, they're getting pretty powerful. You've heard of the Babylonians in the Bible. These huge army, military, they're huge, a huge nation. And they're getting pretty strong during this time. They're conquering the Assyrians. They're conquering so many people. And they're doing it ruthlessly. No mercy, they're conquering. But listen to me, Judah, the place that we're talking about, they've done a lot of evil things too. They've done a lot of bad things too. They've oppressed their own people. And Habakkuk sees all of this. He sees all the evil. And listen to me, there's a lot of evil, and he complains to God. He gives his complaints to God. Let's hear in verse 1. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked him in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Have you ever been there, church? Have you ever been like Habakkuk, pouring your heart out to God? See, Habakkuk sees all the wrongdoings, all the same things, and he's asking God, are you even there? Are you even listening? I'm calling out for you, God, but it seems like you're not even there. Is justice, is it even a thing, God? Is justice even a thing? Church, do you see evil in this world? You see people doing horrible things. I don't want to get too graphic, but there's people murdering people today. There's people raping today. There's people doing a lot of evil things. A lot of things in the face of God. There are people using the name of God to do many, many evil things. And Habakkuk is seeing all this. And he says, how long, Lord, must I call for help? Have you ever asked that question? How many times do I gotta pray? How many times do I gotta pray? I've been praying for this thing for a long, long time. Years. How long must I pray? Habakkuk is pouring his heart out to God. Can I remind you of something, church? God wants to hear from us. God wants us to pour out to him. You see it throughout the Bible. The Israelites, when they pour out to God, God is listening to them. God hears them. And we should be believers who pour our heart out to God. With everything, the things we don't think that are right, we should pour our heart out to him. And I know that I'm probably not the only one who has lifted his hands up and said, where are you, God? I can't be the only one, because Habakkuk was that type of person. And I've heard some of you say, where is God in the midst of my suffering and pain, in the midst of evil that is all around me? Where is he? Where is he gone? And here God's going to answer him in verse 5. We'll jump around a little bit. We're not going to read every verse. Verse 5, he says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. Listen to me, church. This is very important. This is why we often miss it. This is why we're often not patient enough. We're not watching. We're not watching to see if God is answering us. We're not watching to see if God is doing something. In fact, we often are not patient. Very impatient at times. We're not patient enough with God. And God is beyond patient with us, church. Did you hear me? Beyond patient with us. In the evil and the sins that we commit, he is beyond patient. He is beyond merciful. But listen to me, God is the one who disciplines. God is the God of justice. And here he says that I am raising up the Babylonians to judge you people, to judge Judah. Remember I told you that there's a lot of kings doing a lot of evil things. And he's allowing the Babylonians to come in. To punish the Israelites. He didn't just punish the nations around Israel. Listen to me. God took care of his own people. God disciplined his own people. He's not biased God. He doesn't just deal with the Babylonians or the Philistines. He dealt with his own people. So don't let anyone tell you that God was a racist God. He dealt with his own people. And I know it sounds funny, church, but people say this type of thing. We have to understand the scripture. Watch, church. Watch. See, we get angry when God doesn't do what we want. We get angry when God doesn't do what we want right now. We get upset because we think God must do what I want when I want. Can I tell you again? He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings. Know this, church. Know that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 12. We're going to keep going. Verse 12. Habakkuk's got another complaint. Remember, I told you that the Babylonians are coming in. This is an evil, evil nation. Here's the second complaint. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My Lord, my Holy One, You will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up the more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net and destroying nations without mercy? What is Habakkuk talking about here? See, the Babylonians were ruthless. They were evil. They constantly pursued nation after nation, taking, taking, taking. And this is why Habakkuk's complaining to God. God, you're going to use the unrighteous to judge the righteous? See, remember what I said. That's why I don't want us to forget. Judah did a lot of sinful things. Israel did a lot of sinful things. And God is just. This is important. This is why Jesus Christ is amazing. This is amazing grace. I'll get there, church. This is amazing grace. That God is just and He doesn't let evil go unpunished. He doesn't. What kind of judge would let evil go unpunished? But because He loved us in His mercy, in His mercy, in His grace, He sent His Son to die upon a cross for us. To take the punishment that was due to us. I hope you got a smile on your face if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because we all are evil at some times. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. See, the Babylonians, they were ruthless. And here is the question Habakkuk is saying, does evil prevail? Does evil win? God, You are the everlasting, my God, Holy One. You will never die. You are so good, You can't even look on evil. Then why would You do this? Listen to me, evil does not prevail. Evil does not win. Jesus Christ conquered that a long time ago. Evil does not win. I don't care how much evil there is in the world. Listen to me. We're victorious in Jesus Christ. Evil does not win. And listen to me. I want to remind you, because sometimes we don't think this is right. It is okay to cry out to God when there's evil all around you. It is okay to cry out to God, because listen to me, He wants to hear from you. We don't pray enough, church. We don't cry out enough. We do not get on our knees enough. He wants to hear us. The Bible says that if we cast all of our cares on Him, we should, because He cares for us. He cares for us. And He cared for the people. He cared for all human beings. He cares for. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Because He cares so much. Evil does not prevail. And we need to pray, church. When you see evil in the world, and there's a lot of it, don't be shy to pray. Don't be shy to cry out to God. Do not be shy, because God hears His children. God hears His people when we pray. And listen, Habakkuk is talking about, I think it's interesting. He says, the wicked foe pulls all of them up with their hooks. He's describing the Babylonians so well. And how all their military tactics, everything that they do, he's describing them so well. They just take and take and take and take. And this is important. And here in verse 1 of chapter 2, this is an amazing piece that Habakkuk, he sees all the evil and he's not okay with it. Don't be okay with evil. He's not okay with it. And he says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the rampants. I will look to see what He will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Listen to me. Be patient, church. Be patient and know that God will hear you, that God will answer you, and be like Habakkuk and stand on the watch and wait. Wait for him. God, you didn't answer me in 5 seconds. Sorry, God, that's not good enough. What a bad thing to say to the King of Kings. What a bad thing to say to a God who is timeless, who sees all things, who knows exactly what you need when you need it. This is important. We're often not patient. Wait for God to answer. Look. Look for God. Seek God. Search for God. Long for God. Do it with all of your heart. Be patient. Because if you're not, you might miss it. If we're not patient, we might miss it. We might not see God's amazing hand move. Wouldn't that be a shame, church, to miss the Almighty God move? He's moved here at this church so many times. Let me remind you, there are people who miss it here. There are people who miss it. Be patient. God does not abide by our time. I know so many of us sometimes want God to be this genie in a bottle, but he is so much more than that. He is nothing like that. He is a personal God. He wants a relationship with you. A genie doesn't want a relationship with you. He's just there for you. He's not a genie. He's the God. He's your Father. He's your Savior, your Deliverer, your King, your Lord. He is all those things. Be patient with him and know that everything he does is good. He does not do not good. Everything he does is good, no matter the timing of it, no matter when it happens. And I like I just wish we had the attitude of Habakkuk here. God, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting to see your answer. I'm waiting to see what you do. I'm waiting to see the almighty, powerful thing that you do. I'm waiting. I'm watching. I'm on the watch. I'm on the watch. Let's see God's answer in verse 2. The Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, will certainly come and will not delay." See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Can I remind you of something? You can do that in the midst of suffering. You can do that in the midst of pain. You can do that in the midst of evil. The righteous will live by faith. You see that in the New Testament. The righteous will live by faith. Faith in what? Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's always good. You can always rely on him. He will never let you down. And I want to say it again. Good will always conquer evil. Every single time, good will always conquer evil in the end. And sometimes, I like how God says this, sometimes it lingers on. Sometimes it's a long time. He says, though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Well, what does that mean? That doesn't mean your time. That means God's time. When God says it's going to happen, it will happen. Praise the Lord. Because I think when I choose, I would have rushed things way too quickly. You ever look back at your life and say, wow, God, you did answer my prayer back then. You did answer me back then. Or you look back and see, wow, God, you put that person in my life. Or you put that thing in my life. That's why I'm here. You did those things. I couldn't have done those things. You did those things, God. This is amazing. In verse 4, he says, see, the enemy is puffed up and his desires are not upright. Just because it looks like the Babylonians are going to win, they ain't going to win. Just when it seems like you're going to be imprisoned, and slaves to the Babylonians. Listen to me. Just when it seems like you're going to be a slave to them, you're going to make it out. The people are going to make it out. And listen to me. The Babylonians aren't around anymore. They're gone. They're wiped out. They're not around anymore. Why? God says their arrogance and their sin and their evil. That's why. This is an important piece. Don't think God will not do something about evil. Don't think he won't do anything. He's already done it, church. Don't think God will not do anything because he's already done it. When you see evil, know that God has already won it on the cross. When you see evil, hatred, bitterness, sin, know that God has already won. We sing a song. Won the victory. See a victory. For the battle is already won. Do you believe that, church? Even in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, do you believe that you're already won? You're more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says. You're more than conquerors. Not because of your ability, not because you're so strong, but because the power of Jesus Christ in your life, because the Holy Spirit in your life. He already has, church. He already has. He already has. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only solution to evil. You can conjure up a lot of ideas on how to take care of this, how to take care of that. But ultimately, it all points to Jesus Christ being the solution. Jesus Christ is always the solution. Always the solution. For he says, no man can come to the Father except through me. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. Just him. Just Jesus. Why? Because he's God. Jesus is God. He's not just a good teacher, church. He didn't have a lot of good ideas. He is God. And died for you and me. Verse 2 of chapter 3. God talks all about how he's going to take care of the Babylonians here in chapter 2. He's talking about all the destruction, all that type of stuff. And then we get to Habakkuk's prayer. And this is what Habakkuk says in verse 2 of chapter 3. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in all of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. To our time, make them known. In your wrath, remember mercy. God is merciful, church. God is merciful. He abounds in it. Way more than I could. Way more than I could. He abounds in mercy. But he does judge. He is a good judge. He is a just judge. He doesn't deal with people unfairly. He is the good judge, a righteous judge. Know that God is just, and he will take care of all of it. And I love how he says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. Have you heard of the amazing deeds God has done? The awesome things he's done in your life, and you think he'll just leave you? If you know how awesome God is and how amazing the things that he does, do you think he just leaves us? No. God doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He is always with us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he lives inside you. That's how much he cared for us. How do you cope with, how does a lost person cope with evil in the world? They can't. It's all around. God is the solution, church. You got a problem? Jesus Christ. You got an issue? Jesus Christ. Something bad happened in your life? Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. He's worthy of our trust. He's the only person I've met who won't ever let me down. He's the only one I met who loves me enough to die for me. He's the only one. Trust in him. Follow him. Do whatever you can because of gratitude, church. Because of the things he's done. He can do amazing things. Habakkuk says, repeat them in our day. Do you believe, church, that God can still do these types of things? Do you still believe God saves today? Do you think in like the book of Acts when 2,000, 3,000 people are coming to Christ? Do you think he can do those things at all? I hope you believe with everything that God is still the same. That he does not change, because if you think he does, you're going to have a hard time trusting in God. But praise the Lord that he's given us his word, and in his word, he never changes. And I know in my own life, he never changes. Therefore, I can always say that God stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember this, church. He is merciful. Don't think he's not. He is a merciful God. Think of the cross. Verse 17, this is an important piece. This is the point I want us to focus on a lot. Verse 17 of chapter 3, though the fig tree does not bud, there is no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. No. Church, know that God is still worthy of our praise. He is still worthy of our praise. And listen, I want to ask you a question. It is a deep, deep question. I hope you can answer it. If God never gives you what you want, is he still God? Amen. If God never said no to every single one of your requests, is he still God? Yes, he is. He is still God. And that sits with me so much this evening. And I always have to ask myself that question. Anytime I pray, God, if you say no, you're still God. If you don't answer me the way that I want or when I want, you are still God. And Habakkuk, listen to me. I'm sure he didn't want the Babylonians coming in. I'm sure he hated that with every piece. This is why he says, remember mercy, God. Remember mercy. But then he says, if there's no food, if there's no water, if there's no grapes, fields, produce, any of that, no sheep in the stalls, none of that, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Is he your Savior this evening? Will you rejoice in him, church? Will you be joyful in God, regardless of how much this life fails you? Knowing that God will never fail you. Because listen to me, this life, this world, this evil, dark, sinful world has failed me so many times. And I have failed so many times. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He knows what's best. He knows what's best and is still worthy of our praise. Don't you ever think you know better than God. God has more wisdom and understanding than we ever will, than we can ever know. Let him be in control, church. Let him be in control of your life. So what are we supposed to do when we see evil and everything that is around us, suffering in our own life, things we don't like? What are we supposed to do? We do what Habakkuk did. We pray to God. We get on our knees, we cry out, and we say, God, I don't like what's happening in my life. I don't like what I see. And know that God hears every single word that you say. Everything that you cry out, God hears every single word. Every single word, this is important to know. God wants to hear from you. And when you don't pray, how do you ever get to know God better? If God's a personal God, a relational God, he wants a relationship with you, why would you not talk to him? Why would you not talk to him? God wants to hear us. He's our Father. He's our Father in heaven who wants to hear from us. Be patient, church. Be patient. I know it's hard. Trust me, it's hard for me a lot of times to be patient. But again, I'll say, there's many times I've rushed things, even when I knew I wasn't supposed to do it yet. When the Holy Spirit's, not yet, don't go there yet, not quite yet. And I go anyways, and it falls flat face on the ground. Every time. Because God knows the perfect timing for every single thing. Listen to me, this is an important thing to know. This is why I know how good and awesome that God is. Every single thing in this earth is put together. Your bodies are put together so precisely. Do you not think God knows what he's doing? Come on, church. The world spins at a certain, I'm not a scientist, but the world spins at a certain rate. And if it didn't, it wouldn't be good for us. Or if your body shifted just a little bit, it wouldn't be good for your body. God knows everything about us, everything about this world. He's the creator of all of this. Remember that God is in control. Nothing gets past him. Nothing gets past God. Never. Never gets past God. So when something bad happens to you, no, God already knows it. When something bad happens in your life, a tragedy, a very, very hard thing, because listen to me, a lot of bad things happen to people. A lot of horrible, horrible things that many of us can never imagine. God sees every single bit of it. And again, he is the Father of justice. He is the rightful judge. He takes care of evil, and praise the Lord that he does. That one day, it's a hard thing to hear sometimes, one day, the wheat and the chaff are separated. And I pray that you, right now, if you're a believer in Christ, don't want anybody to go to hell. Because if you do, you better be talking with God. We should be pleading, begging people not to go to hell, to be separated from God. That is what hell is, to be separated from God. You don't want anybody to do that. And God, listen to me, God doesn't want anyone to do that. Why do I know that? Jesus Christ. Why do I know that? Jesus Christ. That he would save a sinner like me, unrighteous at the core of himself. That he would save a person like me and take the punishment that was on him. He had the sin of the whole world, church. That's how much God cares for you. That's how much he cares for you. What are you doing with it? Are you pleading with people? Are you begging? We don't like that word, but listen to me. We must plead with an evil and dying world so that they might. You can't make anyone believe. You don't save anybody. That they might come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that anybody could do. Habakkuk is struggling with some hard, hard things here. You got evil. You got God's punishment. He's struggling with a lot of things. And listen to me. We struggle with lots and lots of things. I've asked these types of questions. Don't think Habakkuk's not relatable. At least it's relatable to me. So many times I've cried out to God and said, God, why do you do the things you do? Why do you do it like that? But I can always come to this conclusion, church. I can always come to this conclusion. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Know that God is always working out the good, never the evil. He is always working, even when evil surrounds us, God is always working out the good. Always. And I'll remind you of a story of Joseph. Joseph said to his brothers, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. So we know 100%, listen to me, church, that evil, God can make it good. What people intend for evil, selfishness, God can flip it all around. Flip it all around and turn it into something good. He does it all the time. Not just at Joseph. He's done it in my life. He's done it in your life. He's done it in this church. He's done it everywhere because that's the God that he is. He is a deliverer. He is a deliverer. Know that God is good regardless of what the world says. Regardless of what your coworker says, regardless of what your teacher says, regardless of what the person that seems to have all the education in the world, regardless of what the world says, he is good. And he sees your life, sufferings, and pain. God cares about every fiber of your being. He cares every bit about you. He sent his son to die to one day. We still got to live here, church. Until Jesus comes back or we die, we're still living here. Do you know Jesus calls us to be the light of the world? To let our light shine so brightly? Why would we let it shine? So that others might see Christ in you. Might see that light, that hope. That living hope that lives inside you. So they might see it. But if we never let our light shine, why would you expect the world to ever see who Jesus Christ is? Why would you expect that? And this is what some of the things we're praying for, church. The 16 baptisms. The community. Reaching the community better. If we're not going to take a step out, why would God grant our prayer? Why would he say yes? If we're not even willing to share the gospel. The greatest thing. We ought to share the gospel more and more. Because listen to me, believers aren't the only ones that ask these questions. The world is asking these questions. Why is there so much evil, God? If God exists, you've heard this, if God exists, why is there so much evil and suffering? We ought to be able to give an answer. We ought to be able to give an answer. Know that God is good. He sees everything, and he washes away sin as white as snow. We've all fallen short. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. We all need Jesus Christ to come into our life, to have a relationship with Christ, to wash away our sins. Nobody's getting into heaven with unwashed sin. We have to have Jesus Christ to wash us of our sins. And he promises us, church, to give us eternal life. Wow! God is good. Can we rejoice a little bit this evening in the goodness of God, in the righteousness of God? That God does not change. He always stays the same. And evil does exist. It's all around us. And the father of evil is trying to get you to do evil. His name is Satan. And don't think he doesn't exist. That's exactly what he would want you to think. But Jesus says, I've come to give life more abundantly. More abundantly. Life more abundantly. That's how much he cares for you. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in Christ, church. Follow Christ with every bit. Ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do. Where he wants you to go. And when it's hard to be patient, be patient. When it's hard to be patient, watch. Look. Be on the watch. Be on the lookout. Because listen to me, God is about to do something. God is about to do something that you would not even believe. Are we not a testimony to that today, church? Of God being about to do something that we can. How many times have we said, what? What? How many times have you said that in your own life? What? God, you did that? You did that amazing thing? That's who he is. That's who he is. Trust in Christ, church. Let's stand. Hopefully, if you've never read Habakkuk, you got a little bit of understanding, a little bit more knowledge of the story of Habakkuk. We went through it. We covered everything we got to cover. He complained to God, and God heard every single word. Heard every single word. So I want to ask you, do you have a complaint to God? Do you have something that you keep asking God? God, why aren't you answering this yet? Why aren't you doing this yet? Can you show me how you're going to do it? Can you answer me? I know you're listening, God. I know you hear every word that I say. Get on your knees. Cry out to God. If there's something wrong that has happened to you, suffering, a tragedy, tell God. He cares deeply for you. If you want to pray, that God would help you share the gospel more this year. Help you invite people to church more this year. Go out in the community more this year. You can ask them.